Romans chapter 1 again today. Turn down your copy of the scriptures. Book of Romans. What a wonderful book. Amen. And it's just so... I love digging into the Word of God, and I love digging into a particular book in the Word of God. It's just so helpful, so rich, and it just kind of comes alive to you as you unpack and think through. It's interesting that the themes of Romans are a little more narrow. So the last time I studied through it, I saw the big picture and kind of thought through all the big picture things. But really, it all points down to the same themes throughout the book. And I think that's helpful as we unpack Romans. It's almost like Paul is making the same argument. It's different from a different perspective over and over. And it's really wonderful. So I just love the book of Romans. The gospel greeting, and then, as we talked about last week, getting first things first, which again, of course, today, same idea. First off, he says, thanks to God for all of you, because your faith was proclaimed in all the world. And very much then leads us into our message today. Because of you, I thank God, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. They were faithful. God was using them. And wonderful how God does that. I'm continually stunned by that myself. I don't know why. You know, you pray, you ask God for certain things, and he delivers. And then it's like, wow, that was really cool. It's so faith-building. You know, just that story I shared about our friend. And he's super busy. And I asked him that when he sat down. I said, you know, wow, I told Lori when we sat down, I said, you know, we have to come back here when they're not busy. That's what we need to do. We need to come here at 3 p.m., right, so we can talk to the man. And he sat down. I said, oh, hey, there, I know, hey. You know, we started talking. I said, you know, I assumed you were too busy. Oh, no, we have enough help today. It's fine. Yeah. This is God. You know, God shows up. And I'll never forget the time when we prayed in my office. I prayed with some men and said, give us an open door today. And I walked into Hy-Vee, and there was a dude waving at me from across Hy-Vee. It's like, wow. You know, that's what God does. You know, God shows up and he answers those prayers. Your faith is proclaimed in all the world. It's wonderful to think that through. You know, we're recipients of that today. This church being faithful, we are recipients of that today. Paul wanted to see them, and that comes throughout the book. We'll come back to that towards the end of the book, certainly. His purpose for writing Romans. He wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to impart some spiritual gift. We talked about what that was. That could have been several things he meant there. For their benefit, in other words, to help them. To help them for mutual encouragement, and then to reap a harvest. To give, to be encouraged together, and to reap a harvest among them. Again, possible a couple different things he could have meant by that. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, which becomes very important throughout the book. Excuse me. And again today, very important. And he ends with that in 15, that he was eager to preach the gospel to them. And that's where we kind of lead into the next section of Romans. I am eager to preach the gospel to you. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful example. You know, myself, you know, like tomorrow, I already think about it all weekend when boss says, hey, what's the good news? What's the best response? You know, I don't want to be trite and try to be sober. And I usually try to have some life news. I probably talk more than anyone else because that's my thing. But always try to talk about Jesus. Always try to talk about what God is up to, what God is doing, and trying to get the guys and their minds towards Christ. It's the good news meeting of, you know, we have to talk about the good news. I'm eager to preach the gospel. Doesn't that just speaks to attitude, right? What's your attitude? Are you eager? Do you think about the gospel? You know, and certainly the next couple verses really help us unpack that. So let's read these just few verses today together. And this is going to be our way through Romans. For the first half, excuse me, for our first half of Romans, we are going to go a little slower. We're going to take smaller pieces And then the themes start to repeat, and we're going to take larger pieces as we get halfway through. Excuse me one second. And so that's our design, and hopefully that'll be helpful for us. So follow along as I read. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's some interesting sentence there. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That comes back up later in the book, doesn't it? Comes back up in chapter 10. And so it's just kind of interesting how Paul writes this letter. Let's pray. Ask God to use this time in his word. And certainly that would be practical to us. I think this is a passage where that God can really use it and just give us some footing, give us a little help, maybe in some cases some conviction, but at least something to sort of get us to think about these topics that Paul is raising. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Thank you for Paul's amazing example. What a man. Certainly, we can identify with him. Such a rough start, just as a religious zealot going the wrong way, even to the point of murder, which you would think would get your attention, but didn't. We need you to change our hearts, very obvious. In Paul's life, turned into one of the most zealous servants of Jesus Christ ever. And thank you for that hope. Thank you for that example. Thank you for the word that you gave to us through Paul in this book of Romans. Wow, what an awesome book. And just pray that you help us as we unpack it today. As always, not to stray off the text, make too much or too little of the message, but to be right focused on what you would have us learn, how the application you would have us make. And pray that you'd use your word to change us, to grow us a little bit today, to make us more faithful, and to work in whatever way you would like to change in each one of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's interesting, as I prepared this morning, as usual, I was thinking, okay, verse 15 through 17, right? And it doesn't seem like that much to bite off. Should be pretty good. We'll talk about it. Then I'm looking at it. Wow, I didn't even talk about that enough. Wow, look at this here. That's how God's word is. A dear friend of mine, I was speaking at Calvary on a Sunday night, and he's with the Lord now. Ralph was his name. He was a retired pastor. And he said, wow, I heard the text that you were preaching on. It was Psalm 133, only three verses. And he said, how in the world is he going to talk about that for a half hour? Right? And there's just so much in there, right? You know. And he's like, yeah, that you're. You know, I get it. You know, we had a great, me and Ralph had a good talk about that. They're wonderful people. The Drapers, we loved them. Still do, I guess, they're in heaven. Same way here. Short text, just a few verses, but there's so much in here to talk about. Starts out, Paul eager to preach the gospel. Paul was a preacher. I mean, you read anything of Paul's, you get that. That's his life was dedicated to sharing the gospel in a public way and privately as well. But he loved to preach the gospel. He loved to teach, to speak, to share the good news of Christ, plant churches and all those kinds of things. Maybe their culture led to that a little bit better than ours does now, but certainly that was Paul's life. He was a preacher of the gospel. And then he was eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. One of his reasons for going to Rome, to preach the gospel, and of course to impart some spiritual gift, probably tied to this, isn't it? To impart to you some spiritual gift through the teaching of God's word, through the public preaching of the word of God. So that's what Paul was about. His life was dedicated to proclaiming the gospel. He said he was set apart for the gospel of God in verse 1. I'm not sure if I have that one. Yep, I do. Called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. He faced hardships to preach. He weathered persecution to preach. He was abused and almost killed to preach. He set an amazing example for us to follow. I don't have the slide for this, but maybe you'll remember with me in the book of Acts. Paul is in Jerusalem preaching. And he got to the point where he started to talk more about the Gentiles, which the Jewish people didn't like that. And a great big uproar, big riot happened, and they were going to kill Paul. So the Roman soldiers dragged Paul up out of just about ready to be killed, up onto some stairs. And what does Paul do? Run, right? Hide me. Stopped and preached. All right? What an example. A man loved Jesus and wanted people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he was Paul, the preacher. And just one of the most wonderful examples of a person whose life was dedicated to serving Christ by the teaching and sharing of God's word. I am eager to preach the gospel to you. Some of us might say that, and it would mean something a little less than Paul meant. You know that he was zealous to tell them about Jesus Christ and to teach them. People that already knew Christ, he still wanted to preach the gospel to them. We could certainly talk more about that as well. The gospel then, and this is our month of witnessing, the month that we've just set aside to try to focus on the sharing of our faith, the getting the good news into the hearing hands or eyes of someone, especially someone that doesn't know Christ. The gospel that Paul is eager to preach, very succinctly given to us in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, or even, I guess, really, even the first two would be good. I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Think about how quickly you can share those facts. So if I'm ever meeting someone that I don't think that I'm probably going to be able to see them again, maybe it's a stranger, and we're talking, and then the Lord allows the conversation to be changed to anything spiritual at all, I try to make sure that I have those three facts in the conversation. That something about Jesus being God, something about people being a sinner, and that Christ he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. You can even just share those couple verses just read that way. My opinion is, from the scriptures that God says, so my opinion is, a good way to minister is to try to make people think. Think about it. Here's the gospel, and let God work. Give God something to work with, if you will. That's a weird and maybe even not really that great way to say it, because God doesn't need us for anything. But that's my idea. I want the people to hear the gospel, because I know that God will use his word. And I've seen it happen so many times. You share with someone, you thought nothing happened, and then years later you find out that little thing you did, God used it. And I firmly believe that one day when I land in heaven, I'm going to be blown away by the little tiny things that I was able to do here that God used in amazing ways that I never heard about or found out about. Bill Wright has all kinds of stories like that, where he just shared a gospel tract with someone, and then he heard years later that the person had trusted Christ. And you can talk with Bill about that sometime if the Lord allows. But that's very true. I see that happening as well. Try to get this. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. We're sinners. That, according to the scripture, that he was buried and raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And I make sure to clarify that Jesus is the Son of God, because there's a lot of ideas about Jesus and gods. I talked to a man on Thursday that thinks basically every religion is correct, which is weird, but no one that actually unpacks that can say that. But anyway, talk to him about who Jesus actually is, the Son of God. The good news, the gospel, that's what the word means. You heard the word eulogy. And so the eulogy, if you go to a funeral, that is good, the Greek front part, you, or ooh, you, words, logos, logi. So you go to a funeral, it's to say good words, right? That's why you say that. So the gospel is the ooh, the good message, ooh, angelion, or angelos, depending on who, if it's talking about a person or the message itself. So it's the good word, the good message, the good news is what we call it. The good news is something that was shared, a message that was shared. The gospel is good news. You are a sinner. You are on your way to hell. You have no way to fix yourself. You have no answer for the biggest problem of humanity. And so God came along in the form of Jesus Christ, paid your penalty and died, was buried. Was buried and it was 3 days from the cross to resurrection. He was, according to the scriptures, he rose again. He's ascended at the right hand of God. He's coming back for us. That's good news. Something that we couldn't do, God did it. It's very good news. That's literally what the gospel means. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is the only way to be right with God. It's very important. He paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and because of him and by faith in him, you can be saved. Very, very good news. And, you know, it really does take a work of the Spirit to humble the pride and arrogance of the human heart to see our utter need. But when you really, when God works and you see yourself accurately, you know you need something outside of you to save you. You know it. In human culture, we divide everybody up to bad, worse, really bad, awful, right? We're all sinners. We all need the same thing. We all need saved from ourselves, from our own sinfulness. Not just our sins, but our sin. It's an important distinction. Not just our sins. We do need saved from our sins, but we need saved from our sin. We are sinners by nature. We need someone to take care of that. Only Jesus can do it. He's the only one. That's good news because he has. He has saved us. That's the gospel. It's God's gospel, the gospel of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He made a promise to us. He promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You could say that from Genesis all the way to the end of the Bible, God's gospel is on display. And you could say it this way, maybe, God's redemptive plan for mankind from start to finish. The gospel of Jesus Christ, his son. Very important that we talk about the accurate or true Jesus as we talk about the gospel. It's not just any old Jesus, because there's a lot of cults out there who would add Jesus, or the Muslims would say that Jesus was a great prophet. We're not talking about a prophet or a man. We're talking about God who became man. Declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. Very important that we get that one right. It's the gospel of God's grace. We have received grace and the gospel of God's calling, including you who are called to belong to Jesus. The book of Romans, Paul spends a lot of time talking about the sovereignty of God and the calling of God, and there's going to be some interesting times us unpacking that. And some of those things, I mean, God is infinite, we're not. It's a little difficult to really 100% land. But we're going to look at it, and it's pretty amazing to think those things through. But it is the calling of God to you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Grace and peace in verse 7 there, the gospel of God's grace. And it's a gospel received by faith. It's interesting that it's calling received by faith. That's all throughout Romans. This, to me, this just sets us up for like, okay, this is the rest of what we're going to be talking about the rest of the time in Romans. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith, that is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And there really is this almost war or battle juxtaposition, whatever, of Paul helping us wrestle with and grapple with what is faith and how are you saved? And his own internal struggle, probably a lifelong struggle for him, and then an external struggle of Judaizers fighting him, of how legalism, we are so drawn towards legalism as people. Give me something to do. I want these rules to follow. I want to dot these I's and cross these T's and that be enough. And it's from faith for faith. We come to God. We're saved by Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, a free gift through faith. We put our trust in Christ and we're saved. And that's in this, a big part of it. And it's expanded throughout the whole book of Romans. And if you want to memorize something from Romans that just helps you understand the rest of it, there's the verse right there, repeated in Romans 10. So God's gospel, the good news. Now, if you're here, sitting here, and probably if you're listening online, you knew all of those facts, all of those principles, or all those truths before you came here. It's very likely, right? It's very likely, amen. So why talk about it on a Sunday morning? Well, the first thing is because why not, right? I mean, this is the gospel of God. This is our main job. This is our main focus of life, that Christ has come and died for us. We should talk about this every single day, right? Even to ourselves. We have to remember these truths because a couple of reasons. One, our hearts are fickle and finicky and we will fade. And my friend Duke used to always say, coasting is always downhill. It's always downhill. Two, we need reminded because our hearts still have a penchant towards legalism. We will drift towards legalism if we're not careful. We need reminded of the gospel every single day. In it you stand. Amen? You stand in the gospel. You need the gospel every single day. But that's not really the focus of these few verses here. We're reminded of this gospel in these few verses because we have a mission to fulfill in this world. And Paul says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you, and it's a reminder of our mission. And it's interesting that Paul raises, I think, a valid point and a real issue for many of us as Christians, maybe all of us, including it sometimes maybe even himself. I think that's the reason he chose these words, is the issue of shame. The gospel and shame. And I know in my own life, I would just share that it is bizarre to me. It's bizarre that and this is just part of being human, I think, is somehow I can fully embrace the richness of the gospel. I can't believe I'm overwhelmed with the truth of the gospel, that somehow that the Creator God would take on flesh for me and pay completely my debt, which I had no way to pay, no help, no hope to do anything about, right? I mean, I'm just hopeless and helpless. And I completely embrace that, and I love that, and I'm stunned by it daily. And then I look at my world, and I want everyone I know to know the gospel. I love all of these people. I don't want them to have to suffer for their own sins. I don't want them to have to be in hell for eternity, separated from Christ, the most wonderful person of all time. I want them to know. And at the same time, be over here living my life with a closed mouth. It's reality. It's reality. It happens, doesn't it? Right? And I live that. I experience that. And it's bizarre to me. I don't get it. And this idea of shame is there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Really. Sometimes I am. No, I would never say that. Right? Because I live here. Right? I would never say that. But then I'm over here, and the evidence of my life is sometimes I act like it. We were reminded as to why Paul wasn't ashamed. And the verses are glorious when we read them. Paul raised the issue of shame, though, for us. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But shame is a real issue. Maybe I guess I wrote in my notes, and I think it's probably accurate, the problem is fear of man. I don't want to have to X, Y, Z. I don't want to have to deal with that. Or I don't want to feel like that. For me, for years, I struggled with sharing the gospel for years because I didn't want to screw it up. What if I say the wrong thing, And you go and you see skits at camp where someone said the wrong thing and the person ended up in hell. I'm like, wow, that was a terrible skit. But I don't want to be that person, right? I don't want to say the wrong thing and move someone away from Christ. Very, very bad theology, but that's where I lived. What do we do with that? Shame is a real issue. Sometimes it's fear of man. I don't want people to think I'm the weirdo. It's not fair for me. A friend of mine once told me that. We were talking about sharing Christ, and I was telling him about the people I'd shared with that week, and he said, well, you have the title. You're the preacher. You're the pastor. You have the title. His dad was a pastor. You have the title. It's not fair, right? Well, I don't know about that. That doesn't seem to matter too much. At work, I get to be called the preacher, so everyone expects me to talk about Jesus, so that maybe isn't fair. But you can be the preacher, too. It's real, though, every day. What are we going to do? I feel the same thing. Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, we're going to have the good news meeting. I'm kind of past it, but with this group, certainly, but it can rear its ugly head. Oh, I don't want to have to talk about that, and they're going to think this or that or whatever, which frankly, who cares? It's challenging, isn't it? It's challenging to us. Ask yourself this question. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel? I know that every one of you should be saying, and I'm sure you are saying no, because we legitimately live here, don't we? We live in the wonder of the gospel. It's stunningly amazing. But I think this text makes us grapple with here, right? It makes us grapple with when we get with our friends and our neighbors, when we're out in the community, when we're with people, when we're interacting with people, and our human nature, we don't want to be weird. We don't want to be different. We desire acceptance and we want to fit in. And that's just a real issue. Some of us don't fit in anyway, so maybe it's easier for us. That ship has sailed. I tell you, I want to fit in as much as anybody myself. But I grapple with that too. I just try to live. I know it doesn't matter. People are going to reject you no matter what you do. But we live like this. It's a challenge. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Many people will not share the gospel just because of fear of man. And they are acting like they are ashamed of the gospel. I think that's what's going on with this text here. Sometimes some people act like they're ashamed of the gospel. Not all of us, not all the time. That's not always the issue for every person. We're very complex people. But to me, that's as I read that, it's like, ow. Yeah, I do that. I act like that. Why? And again, like I shared earlier, I think it's bizarre to me. My own thought process is bizarre to me. Why would I do that? Why would that even be a thing? It's not good. I know in my own life, I've had times in the last few weeks of just repenting. That's terrible. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to do that. The expression of this might be different for each person, but the issue is often the same. Sometimes we don't want to be socially awkward or singled out. Sometimes people fear losing a friend or fear how it might affect your life, fear of repercussions, which can be real. The first few times when I was very bold at my new job, it was a little scary. I don't know. I've still never asked them if I'm supposed to talk about Christ with my customers, and I'm just don't ask, don't telling that one. I talk to a fair amount of my customers about Christ. Maybe a quarter, even 20%, a quarter of my customers, we get to talk about Christ. And boss has never really said anything. He's a practicing Catholic. And so I just kind of don't breach that. Boss and I talk about Jesus all the time. So it's scary though, because, you're not supposed to do that. Or you could get fired in some places, couldn't you? I work in Iowa City, and it's it's pretty crazy. Just that close to us, it's really shocking how pagan sometimes Iowa City is. The people that live there, very nice generally, but very pagan. So there can be real repercussions there. It's not a made up thing. It's real. That's scary. It's very scary. The question then for you: what keeps you from sharing the gospel or being more bold about who you are in Christ, your Christian life? Because again, I think if asked, I believe this to be true, just knowing all of you, that none of us would be over here saying, man, I love the gospel, but eh, right? Or, well, we don't talk about that. Well, nah. None of us would do that, right? In our mind, in our conviction, in our thinking, we would all embrace the gospel, amen? I mean, we love the gospel. We would embrace the Christ of the gospel. We would never say that we're ashamed of the gospel. We would never confess that. It's not even something that would be on our, right? You know what I mean? It's just like the farthest thing from the truth. But what keeps you then from sharing the gospel? What keeps you from making some effort towards that? It could be different for all of us, but the issue raised here is shame. The truth about the gospel is that Jesus Christ is worthy to be proclaimed. Amen? Christ is worthy. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Creator, took on flesh. What He has done on our behalf is worthy to be proclaimed, to be talked about. He's worthy of all praise. He is God incarnate. And that's what we're talking about, just Jesus. You know, if you struggle, I don't know what to say. You know Jesus, talk about Him, right? Just tell people about your Jesus. Now, again, I'm kind of going long, but, I'm eager, Paul said. That was his heart. I'm eager to share. In the context of life, if you think about the gospel then, and what I wanted to do today is just kind of take this text, we're going to pepper a couple of others in there, and just kind of help us wrestle with this. So we've got the glorious gospel, and we've got the context of life. What's going on there? And let's kind of meld those together then. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because I have embraced what the gospel is. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Jew first, also to the Greek. Another whole message there, right? Paul would go to the Jews first, to the Greeks as he ministered. Also, though, the gospel came to the Jews first, came through the Jews first, and then to the Greeks. We'll come back to that later in Romans. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. What has God done? He took you literally out of the domain of darkness. His rescue mission was to go into the enemy camp, right into the heart of darkness, and deliver you and to bring you home. Wow. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. People need to know that. Right? People need to know that. There's salvation in Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is the only way to salvation. And so the gospel in the context of life is the glorious gospel versus our small fears. God is powerful to accomplish salvation. He transforms us through Jesus Christ. He saves us from ourselves, from our sin. It is universal to everyone who believes. It is exclusive. Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Again, it is received by faith. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. Man, another one we could just talk more about. The righteousness of God. And we'll come back to that theme. That we receive Christ's righteousness as He takes our sinfulness. And that awesome exchange. The word faith is used 6 times in this short passage. To everyone who believes, faith and belief are nearly synonymous. And again, just a part of being human, you could even think of it as synonymous, but they're very nearly synonymous. Believing, having faith in, placing your faith in Christ. Citing this verse here, His soul is puffed up, it is not upright. The righteous shall live by faith, or shall live by his faith. And so the gospel saves us. And you think about this, if we would live in that knowledge, right? I guess this is just where my mind kind of goes. If I would live in this embracing knowledge that by faith I trust Christ, and that's what I really believe, that as I live my life then, that would not be an issue, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why in the world would I be ashamed of the gospel? I'm eager to preach the gospel. It's who I am. This is me. This is me now. And you know, maybe that would even help you just to say, well, maybe someone's going to reject you if you share the gospel. That's just who you are, right? I mean, you're a Christian. You're born again. God has transformed you. He's made you his child. This is just who you are now. They need the real you, right? They need the gospel you. You're in Christ. You're a Christian. And one of the guys I talked, one of the customers I talked with this week, he said, you know, he was kind of a snark, but he said, I have no problem with God. It's Christians I don't like. They're very judgmental. They're this, that, or the other, right? Which we were just talking, so I didn't say, well, yeah, you're being very judgmental right now, but, you know, right? You know, you're blanketing every Christian as judgmental, and you've met three, right? You know, come on. But I just told him, well, you know, not every person that says they're Christian is Christian. Some of us are actually trying to live out this gospel. And I could have as much said, this is who I am. Right? God has changed me. This is who I am now. I am new. I'm in Christ. I have a different way of thinking, a different way of life. This is who I am. The gospel saves and changes you by faith. You become new. We live that out. Received by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's a gospel to proclaim. That, to me, is all the whole gist of, well, not the whole gist, is one of the main thrusts of Matthew 28, where Jesus said to us, as you go out, make disciples. And you could even hear it like this, that as you're living your life, who you are in Christ is who you are. And it comes out. What do people in Christ do? They make disciples. They tell people about Jesus and they help them follow Jesus. Our lives in Christ are different. We're a different kind of people. And what we're learning here as a church and what we're learning as Christians and individuals is that's hard, right? Because we live in a material world with material pulls and material ideas and material desires and affections, and it's ripping and pulling you, and then there's reality of normal life and the busyness of that, and you've got all the demands of your day, and believe me, I feel it with two full-time jobs, right? And you've got all of these things going on, and they're pulling you all of these ways, and we miss the whole point that we're here for Jesus, right? We're here to be Jesus in a world where he's gone back up into heaven. You see, we're his representatives here. And you can pull it off. Because it's who you are now. You're the Jesus that people are going to see, that they're going to know. The gospel is a good gospel. And it's a gospel to proclaim Jesus is worthy. You can do it. As you go out, make disciples. I am eager to preach the gospel. Now, again, you could say that's not fair because this was all Paul did, right? We're not all going to be Paul, right? We're just not. I would love to be 1% as much of a zealot as Paul, but we have our own calling, right? Remember that? We have our own area that God has called us into and our own ministry that God has called us into, but it's an example. I'm eager. It goes to motive. I want people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm eager instead of ashamed, right? I love how Paul does it often. Are you ashamed? No, I'm eager. Are you eager? I'm certainly not ashamed, right? I'm eager. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the very power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I believe that to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's a universal gospel that God has come and he wants people to know. And so it's got to be proclaimed. Paul was faithful. He believed and wanted everyone to know, and his love for Jesus poured out.
Where's that one at? Here we go. I need that last one, though.
We'll get there first, I guess. You talk about what you love, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, but for faith the righteous shall live by faith. I think it's a universal principle in life. You could recognize this as we close. Think about the things that you talk about in your day, right? If you get my son and I together, I can guarantee you there's probably three things you're going to be talking about, and it's something dorky. And it's either going to be some dorky nerd show or some board game that we love to play, right? Okay? It's just stuff we love. You know, we enjoy that kind of stuff, right? And we enjoy it. We talk about it. We like to spend our time that way. I have other friends that we might talk about hunting or firearms or our hobbies, things like that. I used to talk about cars all the time when I was young. Me and my friends would fix up old junkers and work on them. My boss is almost like my dad and workaholic. We'll talk about plumbing, and we have a meeting. We talk about how crazy people's plumbing is. I got some pictures that would just blow you away of the things that people do with their plumbing. And we like to talk about that. Why? It's our interests, right? You talk about what you love. You just do, right? So we love Jesus. Amen? We love Jesus. And so we have to talk about Jesus. It should be pouring out of you to talk about Jesus. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation. Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Why wouldn't I talk about that? You see what Paul is saying there? I love this gospel. And so it's normal for me to talk about the gospel. You talk about what you love. And so you should find in your life times where it's just natural for you to talk about Jesus Christ and the gospel that you love and the God that you love. And certainly Paul juxtaposed that with shame for us today. Not the same for everybody, certainly. Not all of us deal with that, but that's today's issue that was raised. And for some of us, I needed to hear that in studying this. Some of us needed to hear that today. It's kind of a wake-up call. Talk about what you love. Let God work in you. Let God grow you. We're all growing together. These few years have been pretty rough on us as a family. And one of the things I've noticed in my own life, I don't even get it, but it used to be a lot easier for me to engage strangers than it has been for the last 6 months. It's been work. It's been easier for me to make friends and then tell them about Christ. In the past, I've just talked to random strangers all the time and shared the gospel with them, right? And that's something that it's been harder for me. I don't know why, and I'm meditating about on that and thinking about it. But God is working and growing us, and just let him. Take some time. This is our month of witnessing. Think about it. You know, let God work. Don't get overwhelmed and try to change everything at once. Change one thing, something small. Try to make some progress. Let God use you. It's simple to get the word into someone's hearing and let God work. Try that. You know, maybe you'll meet somebody or you know somebody in your family or at work that needs to hear the gospel, just to get them to think about Jesus. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs so easy? What do you mean, right? I remember one guy I shared with, I said, he said, what do you mean? I said, do you think about life and death or heaven and hell? Is there an afterlife? Do you think? And he looked at me blank and said, that's all I think about. I think about that all the time. I wasn't expecting that, right? And I, whoa, and this is a dude I want to talk to. I don't need to tell him about Jesus. Let God work, and expect good things. Another thing I'm working on, expect God to work. The righteous shall live by faith. It's from faith for faith, right? It grows your faith as you trust Christ and let him work in your life. Well, let's pray and ask God to use this time in his word in whatever way he'd like. Well, God, here we are. Use us. Send us. We are willing vessels together. Certainly not all of us struggle with this issue of shame, but some do. And God, that we wouldn't minimize what's going on in this text. Certainly that we wouldn't be overwhelmed by it or forget the actual gospel while we're wrestling with the gospel, that you have paid for every sin and there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. But that we also wouldn't maybe shut off or minimize your work and how you want to maybe point out a shortcoming in some of us and help us to grow through it and change us and make us a little bit better at serving you or a little bit more open with our faith and certainly with those closest to us to be talking more about Christ and how he's working in your life. And I just pray that you'd help us to grapple through that. You know our weaknesses, you know our shortcomings, you know where we need to change, and we ask you to be gracious to us to help us through those things. None of us, God, are ashamed of the gospel. We love you. Forgive us when we act like it, and as we try to do better in this crazy world, God, give us an encouragement as we see you working, as we see good steps of faith, and not always live in the negative, but just to remember that you are on the scene, you are working, and you have a good plan, and we can trust you through all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.